Then comes the plane of the pure minds. Our normal ordinary mind is usually clogged down to physical mind and vital mind. It is by a great effort that pure mind gets developed. And one of the objects of education must be to develop at least the pure mind. This does not happen normally, but this should be the one of the basic elements of education. So the children are led to form an idea as to what is pure mind and to be able to exercise the pure mind. Even if many elements of pure mind are presented to the children, we do not make conscious of the child as to what exactly is the nature of pure mind. The speciality of pure mind is it sees something that is not physical. It sees. In other words, the pure mind is actually a mind of sight, but not physical sight. And we are not normally aware, even if you see mentally, we are not aware it's a kind of a sight. I usually give the following example just to give an experience of how the pure mind sees. I told you earlier this example, but I can repeat in this present circumstance. There was a lecture being given by a priest to a group of people. And he said that when he became priest, the first person who came to confess to him said that he was a murderer. That is a confession that he made. And then he went on lecturing. In the meantime, one man entered the room. He saluted the whole audience and asked for pardon for intruding and coming late. But he said that, well, I have taken liberty of coming late because I am very intimate with the priest. Because for him, I was the first repentant. Now, I don't know if you can see something. If you really see, it was not told physically, but you can see that he was a murderer. Two propositions are made, one after the other. At no stage you are told that he is a murderer. But now two statements are made. First statement says, told by the priest, that when he became the priest, the first person who came to him confessed that he was a murderer. Now this man comes and says that for him, he was the first person to confess. Now here there is no physical mind involved, no vital mind involved. Two propositions are made quite impartially. You are impartial. There is no involvement of your wish in it. You don't want to wish that this man should be a murderer. You are absolutely impartial. Your mind is absolutely pure. It has no bias, no prejudice, no favorable attitude, nothing. Simply two propositions are made before you. And the two propositions lead you to a which concludes that this man is a murderer. You perceive now, you have seen. Not physically, but you have seen, your sight is awakened, and you see that he is a murderer. So the fact is that our mind is actually a faculty of seeing. And normally this we do not know. We only think that mind is a something by which we think, we feel. Ordinarily we do not know as to what mind is. But first condition of the pure mind is, it is a sight. But not a physical sight. And yet it is a sight. Every sight is light or requires light. Normally we see this is only the light physically. And normally we do not think that mind is also light. But it is only when we experience that mind can see, and when you know that seeing requires light, that we can awaken to a light which is not physical, but a light which is invisible. And yet it is light nonetheless. Without the light you cannot perceive. It is what is called mental light, or light of the reason. Usually we are aware of ideas which are floating in our mind. But we do not know that there are ideas which are luminous, which are really light. Not all ideas are luminous. They may be physical ideas, mental, vital ideas. They also have some kind of luminosity, but very opaque. So in the ideas, realm of ideas, there are various degrees. Opaque light, diffuse light, fluorescent light, transparent light. So there are various kinds of lights in the mind, of which we are not normally aware. But if you reflect clearly, you will find these qualities of the light. There are certain ideas which you, when you begin to reflect upon, they become clearer and clearer. And you will find that when ideas are confused, there is a web of darkness. And as you begin to clarify this web of darkness, you find that this web of darkness was on account of errors. The greater the illusions and greater the errors, the greater is the confusion in the thought. And when you arrive at real clarity, you'll find that error has been eliminated. And what is grasped is true. So there is a great connection between clarity and truth. In fact, there was a great philosopher called Descartes in Europe, a French philosopher. And he saw so much of connection between clarity and truth that he gave the definition of truth in terms of clarity. He said, the idea which is distinct and clear, is necessarily true. So if you want to know whether it is truth or not, you just examine whether the idea is distinct and clear. And it is true that he who lives in truth, you will find a special quality in him, that his ideas are normally very clear, distinct, free from confusions, free from erroneous conclusions and biases. It's a pure austerity, transparency, precision, distinctness. Even when complexity of ideas are present, they are like the rays of light put together, in which each ray is a straight ray of light and distinct from the other.